Mission together today, and this is going to be our last one, and we're going to be launching into a new series talking about real faith in a counterfeit culture, in a counterfeit world. So this morning, I just want to just throw it out. It's real simple. Participation required. And so one of the things that has been super wonderful for me is looking back over the last 20 plus years of us as a church family and the steps that we've taken and just the privilege of being like what we talked about last week, being faithfully consistent to the small yet powerful things and what God has done in our midst. And we've been discussing our DNA. And it's really important when we consider the reality of who we are before God and how we have progressed by faith through grace to this point in our church family. We've discussed our belief and commitment to the love of God. We sang about it earlier. We respond to his love for us by learning to love him and then learning to love our neighbors the way that we love ourselves. We express it. And in this church family, we just simply call it loving God and loving others. And then the way that we learn to serve our great God is just by serving others. It's really simple concepts, but it's not always easy to live out. Love God, love others, and we serve God by serving others. Now, one of the things that I want you to just kind of walk down memory lane. Some of you, you've got a short memory because you've just been hanging out with us for a short period of time. But others of you, you were with us when we first started in the basement of our home in Hollymead in Charlottesville. And so what I want you to understand as you look at these pictures, some of you that have been around with us for the whole time, what I want you to understand is that what I am saying this morning, I have been regularly saying for 20 plus years. This is not a new lesson. And in these formative years and the things that we used to do, and you can see when you look at these pictures that we've always been willing to be an innovative family. And we're just trying to get the most out of the space that we have. And we've been waiting on God to provide along the way. And some of the faces that you're going to see, look at there. It's Annie Grace Herman. She still looks at me with that same look today. UVA student, still gives me that same look. But this is what's beautiful, is we have the privilege of seeing on a very practical level that the things that we're talking about this morning, God honors those things and God blesses those things. And what we need to do like never before is we have to be committed to doing those things better and getting more people involved in our biblical Christ-centered DNA. Now, that was our children's ministry right there, okay? Brought in a children's ministry building. And we just baby steps along the way. So when you hear us talk about baby steps, we've been doing baby steps and we've just been waiting on God the whole time. That was Mitch Dickey insulating. Look at there. There's Dickey Utes. Dickey Utes is in heaven. He is before the Father praising him right now. But some of them this week, they're like, please, Tim, don't use that picture. I'm like, no, we're using it. That's Bobby Ford, okay? Some of you just got scared. That sword is in my office. If you want to see it, come to my office. It's still alive and well. But this is us doing communion. We've always, from the very beginning, we've done communion as a separate thing. Mission groups, we started way back in the day, going to the Dominican Republic, and it has been a beautiful process. Some of you were around when we rehabbed this house for the Anselons. They came from Ecuador, and their adopted daughter needed to open heart surgery. And so our church family came alongside of them during that period of time. Look at there. Colin, can you see yourself up there? Yeah, you did. Yeah, you look a little different back then. But here's the thing I want you to see and understand as we're looking at this. We are doing the same things that we did when there were 20 people. And when you look at just a minute, one of the dry eraser board pictures, what I was on is I was on an expedition this week to find one particular dry eraser board picture. We were at the time, Hambo and Heather Myers, we were at their house on their lawn, and I had the dry eraser board out there. And I just want you to understand, because it's super important, this is in a garage. This is Philip and Donna Morris's garage. Race cars are on the lift on the other side, and we're digging in, trying to talk about the different approaches, the different models of how you can do church. And what I'm trying to help you understand is what I'm presenting to some of you, it may be new to you, but we have been saying the same thing for over 20 years. And the dry eraser board picture that I was using, back then, there were probably 20 or 25 of us sitting on the side yard. You could see a couple pictures of us having food on the porch. And what we were talking about is what we're going to talk about this morning. The difference between being a consumer and being a contributor. So I'm just trying to give you a glimpse that we have been saying these things consistently for over 20 years. Now, last Sunday, we discussed the deep, long-lasting impact of faithful consistency. And we evaluated the verses in Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to jump back in there. And I want to encourage you to follow along because we want to reread these. And I want you to reexamine this illustration that was presented by our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, in this passage, because you can see that he's trying to help them understand things about the kingdom of heaven. So verse 14, as we dive in together. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest some money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver, what did he do? He dug a hole, put it in the ground, and hid the master's money. Now, after a long time, their master returned from his trip, and he called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Verse 24, then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look here. Here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least you would have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now, throw this useless servant into our outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What we're going to do is we're going to dive back into this, because I want you to see the faithful consistency last week. But there's also something for us to understand about how participation is required as we break open this scripture. I want to remind you again, each was given a different amount of currency by the master of the household. It states very specifically that it was given based on their individual abilities. There again, what do most of us get preoccupied with? The amount. It's not as much about the amount, it's about the amount matching the ability, which is very amazing. Two of the three servants received this response. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Notice that all three were given different amounts. The first two were deemed faithful. The third was called a wicked, lazy servant and was deemed unfaithful. Now, this is what I need for you to understand. The more that we experience the presence of God as a church family, the more true this reality becomes that participation is required. Because here's what I want to make very plain and what I have learned over the past 20 plus years. We cannot change our DNA and who we are, and we cannot take God's blessings and somehow begin to think that it's because of what we've done. Because it's all about us participating in the great mission that He's called us to pursue. So I want you to think about this. I want to give you two words. I want to just simply put the word participation. It's a great, great word, English definition. The act of taking part or sharing in something. Very simplistic definition. Participating or sharing in common with others. Now, can I ask you, for any of you that read the New Testament, does this not reverberate the message of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apprentice, the Acts of the Apostles, what we just read about participation? Don't you feel like that this entire record given to us in the book of Acts with the launch of the early church is about participation? It's about sharing, having things in common. Let me use this phrase for the word participation. Active person. Active person. Now, the other word that I want to give you the opposite of participation is inaction. So we've got participation and we've got inaction. Inaction, I'm just going to define it as passively present. Passively present. We can use the term, since I said inactive about participation, let's just use inactive person for the word inaction. So let me just ask you, those two comparisons I gave, and when I use the phrase passively present, can I just be really honest with you, from my years of being in church ministry, that I believe that across America today, there's like this unspoken expectation to just passively show up and just be there on Sunday. So I'm gonna make it very clear. That's not what we're talking about this morning. When we're talking about participation required, we're not talking about just one day a week. We're not talking about a couple of hours on one particular day. We're talking about a pursuit, a passion, or lifestyle. Some of you, we have conversations, especially over the last 3 or 4 years. We're like, what are we going to do, Pastor Tim? We got kids running everywhere. We got all this stuff going on. Let me just tell you, from my years of experience, one of the reasons why, and I'm not against, if you please, don't twist this and say Pastor Tim is against this. No, I'm telling you what we're pro, which is what we're doing and how we're pursuing things. Why would we as elders lead this church family into a multi-million-dollar debt load for potentially a building that we're going to use maybe 6 hours a week? So some of you, you build a $900,000 home for yourself and you use it 6 hours a week and you sleep somewhere else. What's the point? I know some of you right now, I know I'm walking on tender ground, but I'm saying this, can I tell you something? I'm saying this from the standpoint of a past insider. I'm not saying it from the outside looking in, being critical. I'm telling you that I was a part of growing big things with big budgets and big numbers and big offerings. And the thing that you saw up there is that sometimes it's so skewed because you don't know the difference between business and ministry. So I'll stop right there and let me jump in to verse 24 again. I want to reread verse 24 through 29. And I want you to, as you hear me read and you read up here, I want you to keep these two phrases, participation and inaction, an active person or an inactive person in your mind. Let's reread verse 24 with this in mind. Then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops that you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money. I was afraid that I would make a mistake. I was afraid that I would fail. I was scared of who you are and what you do, so I hid it in the earth. There was enough activity to dig a hole, but then from that point on, nothing was done with that bag of money." Do you understand that this man was justified in his excuse making? He had convinced himself why he did not need to be actively doing something with what he was given. Verse 29. "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." We're at a point in our church family where we have to be more trustworthy with the beautiful things that God has given us. We have to be more committed to total participation across the board, because here is what we are struggling with right now. That some of you are coming to us and you're curious, you're hanging out with us, but you've got this religious baggage to where that you think our church family is about this Sunday morning gig. And if it's about our Sunday morning gig, then we only have a certain number of positions up here where people can fit in to our Sunday morning gig. And I'm trying to let you know that's not who we are. Because we can't even fathom the level of ministry participation that could take place if each and every one of us would understand that we are ministering spirits, not just today for a couple of hours. And praise God for those of you that are welcoming people and smiling at people and shaking hands, because I'm telling you right now, that is a powerful extension of the love of God. But what matters is tonight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you say, "Oh, well, Pastor Tim, what am I supposed to do for our church family?" I'm not asking you to do something to build this logo. We already have a brand, and his name is Yeshua, and he came and lived and died and rose again. That's our tattoo, and it's tattooed on our hearts. If we can begin to understand that we can participate and we can be the hands and feet of Jesus every single day on the job, do you understand how that taking place every day simply ignites what happens when we come together? And can I tell you what I love? I love how this worship team in both locations is changing weekly. More people are stepping up. Somebody texts, "Not going to hang you out to dry. Hey, I play the electric guitar and another instrument. Praise God, I'll send your name on." Somebody else was up here last week, first time. I'm not going to say your name. Do you get what I'm saying? There is so much room for so much talent, gifts, and blessings. So, sorry, I'm so fired up. This is from my heart. I've been saying the same thing for a long time. Let me give you a comparison of the two words. Other than participation, let me give another word, contributor. You know what a question a contributor asks? What can I do to help? What can I do to help? I'm just telling you right now. When I have somebody that comes to me and says, hey, Pastor Tim, we're here, we got this, whatever, I want to be on the elder team. For those of you who know me, how do you think my response is in my heart? You've got the process backwards. Because the elder is a servant leader who says, what can I do to help? What can I do to bless? So think about that. What's another word? So we got participation, contributor, inaction, comfortable. You know what somebody who's seeking to be comfortable asks? What can you do better for me to stay here with you? I love everybody. I'm going to work hard. But if you think I'm going to respond to that, I'm telling you in advance, I'm going to deeply disappoint you. Because I don't care about you being comfortable. I care about you walking by faith. And usually faith is a stinking hard thing to do. It's not about being comfortable. So you see these word comparisons? We've got participation / contributor, and then we've got inaction versus being comfortable. Let me use a different phrase in our Western world for being focused on comfortable. Consumerism. Consumerism. What can you do better for me to stay? Think about this. Christianity, or following Christ as Lord and Savior, is not and has never been a spectator sport. Some of you on the sidelines, just trying to show up like you're at a football game, you wonder why you're getting your tail kicked spiritually. Because it's a participation sport. It's not a spectator sport. Paul writes, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. He's calling for an active, conscious presentation of all of our being to God. He's not asking for passive attendance. Here's a fundamental question. Are we participants in God's kingdom, or are we simply here to be consumers of religious services? And some of you, I'm just letting you know, I'm worse now than I've ever been. I am not concerned about us having full offerings of religious services so that we can be like, oh my gosh, that was so nice. You know what I am concerned about? You know what our team is concerned about? Raising up warriors for this generation, children, young people. They're going to have the heart of a lion. They're going to be able to stand in the face of the onslaught of the evil one and humbly proclaim the good news of Jesus as our Christ and Lord. The tension between contributing and consuming sits at the heart of Christian identity and discipleship. Please hear me when I say this. I got to say this, but I don't want to belabor the point, but I want you to listen. Rather than passive recipients, believers are called to active participation in God's kingdom work through unique gifts and resources. Each person receives distinct spiritual gifts distributed by the Holy Spirit for the common good, Romans 12:4-8, and 1 Corinthians 12:4-27. These gifts function as stewardship or management responsibilities. Believers serve one another as good stewards or managers of the multifaceted grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10-11, Ephesians 2:10. Our participation, please hear me when I say this. Our participation is not about personal fulfillment, but it's all about advancing God's kingdom. Now, you know what I think is really cool about the way God works in our lives? Is that he knew that we would experience personal fulfillment along the way when our priorities are right. Are you telling me that when I'm yielded to God and when I am seeing some of you make a faith choice to follow Jesus, that that's not personally fulfilling? You got to know it is. And that's why some of you, I look at you and I say, I'm so stinking proud of you. And you look back at me and go, why? Because I am personally fulfilled in my ministry efforts when I just see somebody take a baby step. I don't have to see this. I see some of you go, Mm. You can ask my wife. I'll come home sometimes. I'll be like, oh, yeah, they're growing. I love that. Think about this. The parable of the talents illustrates this starkly. The master distributed resources to each servant's capacity. Remember, it's not about the amount, but the empowering to participate. Please hear my heart. Some of you, you don't genuinely believe that you've been empowered to participate. That's the lie of the evil one, to keep us from being a healthier body. Those who actively deploy their resources receive affirmation, while inactivity brings judgment. The message is clear. Receiving a gift to participate creates an obligation or a responsibility to contribute back to the body. This is not my plan. This is what Jesus put in motion. This is God's desire for us. Now, at this point, I need to give a cultural warning because this matters for what we're talking about right now, but it also is laying the foundation for what we're going to jump into in the book of Matthew next Sunday. I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 in the NLT, but I want you to listen to this, and I want you to just imagine the Western church. Let's not necessarily apply this to the unbelieving world. Let's apply this to the church world. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud. Can I throw in their self-promoters? All across Christianity today. Scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Here's a scary proclamation. They will act religious. They can hang out in church and know things about the Bible, but they reject the power that could make them godly. Or I want to say the power that could change them from the inside out. What does it say right here? Stay away from people like that. Also want to give you James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 for you to look at. Rick Warren has said this, it is an incredibly difficult task. And please hear me when I say this. The reason I read this, we are at a point in our church family where we need to go from a small group of 10 to 25 men and women, 45 men and women, to where we need an army of hundreds that are going to help in this process. Listen to what Rick Warren said. It's an incredibly difficult task to lead people from self-centered consumerism to being servant-hearted Christians. It is not a task for faint-hearted ministers or those who don't like to get their religious robes wrinkled, but it is what the Great Commission is all about. I want to show you this picture real quick. Thank you, Amy. Somebody gave this to me because somewhere along the line, I lost this. And if you can see, I'm still a VeggieTales fan. Even when I say VeggieTales, some of you immediately go into VeggieTales, VeggieTales. The song just starts looping through your mind. I get that. But the reason I wanted to show you this is this is just a silly little example of how that we have been consistently saying these things. Look at the moniker. What did we write on there? A community of Christ seekers and Christ followers. We don't need a three-sentence-long mission statement. This is just who we are. We are striving to continue to create an environment where everyone is welcome. Everyone has a seat at our table. We're committed to making room for more people. We invite you to come as you are. We just hope that you won't stay that way a super long time. But can I tell you something? That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's not our job. We are asking you to know the one true God, the great I am. Come in and hang out as a comfortable consumer. But I'm asking you this morning to begin to make movement toward learning to be a contributor. And let me just say this. Our church family, as we continue to bless and invite and bring people in, please understand this. I am not condemning being a comfortable consumer. What I am trying to do, let's just point out the reality of the process and understand that our goal is to get you at some point to move toward being a contributor. And it starts with the smallest of things. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not need to change. We talked about that last week, him being faithfully consistent. But you know who needs to change? We do. We need to transform. We need to be different. God doesn't need to change, transform, or be different. We do. So let me ask you this as we wrap things up. Have you changed? I'm not asking about a monumental cross transatlantic change. I'm just asking, do you know in your heart that you've changed? This is more important. Are you expecting to change? Because if you're comfortable right where you are and you think you got it all figured out, I'm going to say this to you in love. You've got a problem spiritually. And the bigger issue, are you changing for the glory of God or for yourself? With this, I'll close. These teachings were already in the pipeline. So it's providential that I can stand before you today and proclaim that I am more committed to raising up more men and women as servant leaders and more of this, myself, Lori and I, our church family, being a launching pad for greater participation within the kingdom of God. Because here's what's been reinforced in my heart, soul, and mind the last 3 weeks. Men will die, but the mission does not. And what I'm doing with my life is I'm trying to invest that his kingdom would come and his will would be done. This mission that we have been given, it's not our mission. It's not our flavor. It's not our mandate. This is what Jesus said. Go and make disciples as you're going. How do you do that? You love people. And they see this uncanny love, and then they know that Jesus has risen and he's on the throne. And then we serve. What does he say about leadership? Now, we're not going to lead the way that the normal world leads. We're going to lead by being humble servants. I'm asking you to take some steps today for this mission, which is Christ, for this pursuit, which is his. And for us to be healthy, you may not understand it, but our health is not based on me. Our health is based on us. And I want you to understand my commitment. Some of you, you're going to laugh because you've heard me say this. Some of the first times I said it in Bible study in a garage, and I said it at the Stone Chapel. I am so committed to what I'm teaching this morning and so committed to you being active and doing something that I will proclaim again. I would rather you do something that doesn't work out and maybe something that may be on the edge or wrong and learn from it than to continue to sit on your butt and be comfortable and not be active for the kingdom of God. Like, Pastor Tim, you don't really mean that. Oh, I've meant that for 20 plus years. He said, but what if I make a mistake? You learn from it. You think this has been a flawless pursuit? People are gracious with me. We're gracious with each other. Please hear my heart. For some of you, the Holy Spirit's tapping on you and you're trying to keep it quiet. You don't want anybody to know that your heart's racing. That's not me. Participation is required for us to do greater things across this region for the glory of God. Think about these things as we stand and we worship once more in song together.